it's a really jarring reality when you think about it. Ukraine, you know, the breadbasket of the world, now facing this severe hunger crisis inside its own borders.
Yeah, it's quite a shocking reversal. A major global food exporter.
And its own people are struggling for their next meal. Okay, so let's unpack this.
Mm-hmm.
This deep dive, it's all about understanding the roots of hunger in Ukraine. We've looked through quite a range of articles, research papers, trying to get a clear picture.
Right.
And our goal today really is to pinpoint the main factors driving this crisis. And importantly, identify where the needs are most urgent right now.
It's definitely complex. A lot of interconnected pieces.
It is, isn't it? It's not just one thing.
Absolutely. And what's fascinating, or perhaps disturbing, is seeing how these different elements link up. It's less a single cause and more like a, well, a chain reaction.
Started by one central event.
Exactly. And understanding how those pieces fit together, that's really key to grasping the full scale of what's happening.
And that central event, the undeniable starting point here, it's the ongoing conflict. Pretty much every source we looked at points straight to the war.
That's the primary driver, no question.
Yeah, the main driver of this food insecurity.
And if you think about it globally, conflict is almost always a major catalyst for hunger. But the way this specific conflict has unfolded in Ukraine, it's created a particularly devastating set of consequences.
It's more than just the fighting itself, though, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's how the war just fundamentally tears people's lives apart.
Mm.
We're talking about, you know, huge displacement, people losing homes, losing their ability to earn a living. Almost overnight.
Precisely. The war is a direct assault on livelihoods. When people are forced to flee, they leave everything behind. Jobs, farms, support networks.
Everything they rely on.
Yeah. And it doesn't stop there. The conflict also causes just tremendous damage to essential infrastructure, the things needed to actually move food around.
Right. We saw reports about roads, bridges, even food storage facilities being destroyed or damaged.
It just fractures the supply chains.
Yeah, totally. And then there's the constant danger. Farmers can't safely work their fields.
Mm-hmm.
And aid organizations, they face huge risks just trying to get help to people who desperately need it.
It creates this pervasive environment of insecurity. It's not just the immediate violence, but the ongoing instability. It stops normal life, including farming, including humanitarian work. It just grinds to a halt.
And disturbingly, we saw reports about increasing violence aimed specifically at aid workers. And their facility.
Yes, that's a deeply concerning trend. It directly hinders aid delivery.
It really does. Less aid getting through means more people go hungry.
Wow.
Simple as that. Okay, let's shift to the displacement aspect. The sheer number of people forced from their homes.
The scale is staggering.
Sources called it the most rapid displacement in Europe since World War II.
It is. Millions displaced, both inside Ukraine, internally displaced people, IDPs, and refugees in other countries.
And many have been displaced more than once, right?
Yes, that's a particularly devastating part of it. Repeated displacement, constantly uprooted.
Can you even imagine fleeing your home multiple times? It just highlights the extreme instability.
Mm-hmm.
And this forced movement, it connects directly to food insecurity, doesn't
it? No, absolutely. People lose their homes, their land, their jobs, their access to traditional ways of getting food. All gone.
It severs those critical ties.
Exactly. They often find themselves with literally nothing. Totally reliant on outside help. And this vulnerability, it leads to incredibly difficult, sometimes impossible choices.
Yeah, we saw reports mentioning people cutting down on meals, parents skipping foods so their kids can eat.
Taking on debt just to buy basic food, desperate coping mechanisms.
Heartbreaking. And the impact isn't just immediate hunger, is it? It goes deeper.
Right. Displacement makes the overall food security situation worse. It fuels malnutrition and often cuts off access to essentials like clean water and health care, too.
It's like a domino effect of hardship.
It is. And connecting it back to the conflict, this mass movement of people, is a direct result. And it just intensifies all the other vulnerabilities, makes people much more susceptible to hunger and related health crises.
Okay, so Ukraine, always a massive agricultural player. The impact of the war on that sector must be enormous.
Oh, huge. The sources detail significant damage. Farms, fields, food processing plants, storage silos, even irrigation systems.
It's like the conflict is targeting not just people, but the very systems that feed them.
In effect, yes. And destroying that agricultural infrastructure, that's a long-term blow. It impacts Ukraine's ability to feed itself and, you know, its role in global food supplies.
And it's not just the buildings, right? Farmers losing essential machinery, livestock.
The tools of their trade. gone.
Right.
Rebuilding that sector, that's going to take significant time and, frankly, investment.
For sure. And the disruption, it's not just on the farms.
No, the entire agricultural value chain is hit hard. Getting crucial inputs, fertilizers, seeds, pesticides, that's become incredibly difficult.
We saw mention of a key fertilizer plant being destroyed, for instance.
Right, and that has knock-on effects not just locally, but for the next planting season across the region. It ripples outwards.
And then there's the challenge of actually moving the food that is produced. Transportation within Ukraine, severely disrupted.
Massively. Damaged roads, security risks. It makes moving goods incredibly dangerous and difficult.
Which creates blockages, shortages in some places, maybe gluts elsewhere. And price swings.
Exactly. Huge logistical hurdles. Even if food exists in one area, getting it to another area facing critical shortages can be almost impossible.
And of course, we have to mention the Black Sea Grain Initiative suspension and the attacks on ports.
Yes, that had a massive impact, not just on Ukraine's economy, which relies heavily on those exports, but on global food markets, too.
It really hammered home Ukraine's role globally.
It did. And it highlighted how dependent some regions are on Ukrainian grain, raising fears of price shocks far beyond Ukraine's borders.
So with that initiative halted, at least for a time, and the ports under attack, the main challenge inside Ukraine shifted, didn't it? More towards access, less about just availability.
That's a really critical point. Logistical barriers, security barriers, those became the primary obstacles. Even if Ukraine can produce food, if it can't be safely transported to the hungry,
it doesn't solve the immediate crisis.
Precisely. It just underscores how multifaceted this problem really is.
And underlying all this, there's poverty. We know poverty is a major cause of hunger everywhere.
It's often the foundation, yes.
And the conflict in Ukraine has just plunged so many more people into poverty. We saw a figure something like nearly 2 out of 3 Ukrainians have seen their income drop since the invasion.
That's right. It's a stark number. And, you know, economic hardship and conflict, they almost always go hand in hand. People lose jobs. Businesses close.
The whole economy suffers.
And that directly hits people's ability to afford the basics, like food.
So nearly 2/3 with less income. That translates directly into a large percentage of people who just cannot cover basic food costs anymore.
It really lays bare that direct link between economic stability and food security.
Yeah.
Even if food is in the market, if you don't have the money,
you go hungry. And prices for essential foods shot up after the war started too, didn't they?
Significantly, putting even more pressure on households already struggling.
Now, there was some mention of food price inflation easing a bit in 2023.
There was some moderation, yes, but the overall economic situation remains incredibly volatile.
So even if prices stabilize for a moment, the underlying pressures, widespread unemployment, loss of livelihoods, they're still there.
Exactly. The ability to actually buy food remains a huge challenge for so many. Without a reliable income, it's a constant struggle. Basic sustenance is out of reach for far too many people.
Then there's this other threat, kind of hidden, but incredibly dangerous and long-lasting. Landmines.
Mm-hmm. A terrible legacy.
Vast areas of Ukraine, including farmland, contaminated with landmines and explosive remnants of war.
Ukraine has become one of the most heavily mined countries on Earth. It's shocking.
And the impact is just enduring, isn't it? These things pose an immediate deadly threat, obviously.
To civilians, yes. But they also cripple agriculture for years, maybe decades.
It's a devastating double whammy. Risk to life and the inability to safely farm the land. Farmers can't get to their fields, can't plant, can't harvest.
It just perpetuates the food insecurity cycle. And then you had the Kakhovka Dam breach on top of that.
Right. Compounding the problem. Damaging irrigation, making more land unusable, especially in the south.
Exactly. Recovering from that specific event alone will take a huge amount of time and effort.
It's good to see organizations like the World Food Program, WFP, and the Food and Agriculture Organization, FAO, getting involved in supporting demining efforts, though.
Absolutely vital. It's a critical step for any kind of recovery, working with the Ukrainian government on that.
Definitely. Now, looking geographically, the sources were really clear that this isn't hitting the whole country equally.
No, the most severe hunger is concentrated right in those frontline regions where the fighting is most intense.
Areas like Kherson, Zaporizhia, Donetsk. They're facing particularly dire situations.
The data is alarming. In Kherson, over half the population facing severe hunger.
Over half.
And 2 out of 5 in Zaporizhia and Donetsk. Those are incredibly high rates.
And it's a combination of factors there, right? Supply chains just broken down.
Infrastructure shattered, yeah.
And basically no way for people to earn any income.
Exactly. Normal economic activity has pretty much collapsed in those zones. Getting food in is incredibly hard, and even when it's there, people often can't afford it.
We saw reports of vegetable prices doubling in some places.
It paints a really bleak picture. People trapped, food is scarce, and it's unaffordable.
Just awful. Okay, so amidst all this, the role of humanitarian aid, absolutely critical.
A lifeline, truly. The WFP, the World Food Program, they're doing incredible work, reaching about 1.5 million people every month.
With food and cash assistance.
Yes, and really focusing on those frontline areas and other vulnerable groups. It's vital support.
And they adapt their approach, don't they? Food boxes where markets aren't working,
Right, containing essential staples.
and cash transfers where people can still buy food, which also helps local markets.
That flexibility is key. And WFP does more than just distribute aid. There's school meal programs, even running in underground shelters. That provides vital nutrition and some stability for children.
And they coordinate logistics and telecoms for the whole humanitarian effort, too.
Yes, they lead the logistics cluster and the emergency telecommunications cluster. It's indispensable work, sort of the backbone of the operation.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And as we mentioned, their involvement in demining with FAO and the government, crucial for the future.
Definitely. And speaking of FAO, their emergency and early recovery response plan, it sounds pretty comprehensive.
Focused on rural communities, helping agriculture get back on its feet.
Yeah, it looks beyond just the immediate emergency, providing inputs like seeds and tools, supporting mine action to clear land, helping rehabilitate damaged land, implementing early recovery measures.
Try to rebuild.
Exactly. And their assessments of food security and livelihoods are crucial too, making sure the aid is targeted effectively. They work closely with the Ukrainian Ministry of Agrarian Policy and local authorities.
Collaboration is key there.
For sure.
And it's not just the big UN agencies, is it? Lots of other groups involved.
Oh, absolutely. A wide range of international and local NGOs. Groups like Action Against Hunger, CARE, Nova Ukraine, Wealth Hunger Hilfe, ROSM, many others.
Providing everything from food and hygiene kits to medical care, shelter, psychosocial support, cash.
It's a huge collective effort. Each organization brings its expertise. That coordination is what makes the difference, really maximizing the impact.
Okay, so let's try and pull this together. This hunger crisis in Ukraine, it's this really intricate web. Conflict is the main driver, undeniably. But its effects are just magnified by the mass displacement, the shattering damage to agriculture, the severe economic hardship.
And that terrifying long-term threat of landmines.
Right. And those frontline regions are bearing the absolute brunt of it.
Yeah, the concentration of suffering there is intense.
And while the humanitarian aid is absolutely vital, just keeping people alive right now,
It's essential.
it's clear that lasting solutions need more than just emergency relief. Sustained action is needed.
Precisely. Tackling the immediate needs is critical, of course. But we also have to think about and work on the underlying systemic issues that are driving the crisis, building towards a more resilient future.
So, thinking about Ukraine's history, the global breadbasket, it does make you pause. What are the long-term global consequences of this internal food crisis? And how might the world's efforts need to shift, moving beyond just immediate relief towards supporting a truly sustainable recovery for Ukraine's food systems?
That's the big question, isn't it? Moving from crisis response to long-term rebuilding.
Yeah, a deeply concerning situation and definitely something to keep thinking about.